2 Samuel 12, verses 7 through 14. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed them with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun." So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who was born to you shall surely die." Then Nathan departed to his house. David is reminded of all that the Lord had done for him. God had chosen him, saved him, blessed him, elevated him to the throne of Israel. God had given him more than he could ever imagine, and God would have given him so much more if he had only wanted it. And this is how David repays the Lord for his grace and his kindness. What a rebuke. Surely, it melted the heart of the king. The blessings of God and the grace of God that we have been given ought to serve as a shield against evil. To think of all that God has done for us, and then consider how we treat him. The Lord deserves far better than he receives from his children. You can almost hear the sadness in the voice of Nathan as he asks the pitiful question, "Why did you do this? After the Lord has been so good to you." It must have broken the heart of the Lord to see the man that he called the man after God's own heart in this pitiful condition. I would imagine that our sins hurt him just as deeply. Look at all that he has done for us. He's loved us. He's given his son to die for us. He saved us when we should have been thrown into hell. He's been good to us, meeting our needs, lifting our burdens, blessing us in 10,000 times 10,000 little ways. And we act like we owe him nothing. When sin comes our way, we forget who we are. We forget about the Lord. We lose ourselves in the pleasure of the moment. God help us to consider what our sins do to our Savior. This thing is not about us. It's not about our pleasure. It's not about our happiness. This life is about Christ and him alone. For me to live is Christ. Back to 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. It says, "So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." When David hears the charges, suddenly his mind is clear. For the first time in months, he can see the situation just as it is, and he makes a full and honest confession. As soon as David confesses He's told that his sins have been forgiven and that he will not be put to death as the law demanded. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. Instead of justice, David had received mercy and grace. He has been forgiven and he has been pardoned. The time of alienation from God is over. He is restored. Here is what David said happened when he dealt with his sins. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Salah. Transgression forgiven, sin covered, not imputing iniquity. Acknowledgement of sin, confession of transgression, and then forgiveness of the iniquity of our sin. This is how God operates. When sin is confessed openly and honestly, it is forgiven by the Lord. David's told that God has put away his sin. That phrase means to take away, to pass over. Pass over. God took David's sins and took them away from him. As far as David and God were concerned, they were gone forever. So David said to Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. That is a blessing. And that is what happens when we come to God for forgiveness. When we deal with our sins in open and honest confession, God forgives them. And he removes their stain from our lives. It says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is how sin is to be handled. And when it is, forgiveness and restoration are always the result. However, the fact that sin was forgiven and cleansed away did not mean that there would not be some fallout from what had taken place. We see that in the next few verses in our text. In 2 Samuel 12, verses 10 through 15. Because David had seen to it that Uriah had been killed with violence. Violence would never depart from David's own family. What a tragic price David did pay for his sin. He would later lose three of his own sons in a violent manner. Abner, Absalom, Adonijah. The sin David committed affected him and his family for years to come. He could see his wives treated with the same contempt he had shown for Bathsheba. His own son Absalom would go in to his father's wives in public view. As we will see later, his sin paralyzed David when it came to dealing with sin in the lives of his own children. The knowledge of his own sin caused him to do nothing about the sins of his sons. We'll explore that more thoroughly in future messages. In the final analysis, David paid a high price for a night of sin. Of course, that's what God says will come to pass. We will reap what we sow. The sin may have been forgiven. The sin may have been forgiven, but the events that were started in motion had to play themselves out. You could have one night of the pleasure, sexual intercourse, wind up with a sexually transmitted disease, wind up with AIDS, wind up pregnant. Yes, God will forgive your sin, But there's consequences to that sin. You could be a night of drinking and partying, getting in a car wreck, wind up arrested, DUI, under the influence, maybe even manslaughter, maybe even murder somebody by your vehicle. There's consequences, brothers and sisters, to sin. Yes, our sins will be forgiven. But sometimes there's consequences that are far, far reaching. No one sins in a vacuum. You might think that what you do affects no one but yourself, but you are seriously wrong about that. When you sin, your sin and the ripples it causes touch everyone around you. When you sin, it touches your family, your church, your work, your school, your community, your friends, everything. God will forgive the sin when it is repented of and confessed. But that which was started in motion will play itself out in your life and in the lives of those that are touched by it. That's a sobering thought. Before you take that final step and go off into sin, think about how your sin is going to affect those around you. What will your family think? What will your church think? What will be the outcome? What damage will this do to the cause of Christ? If you stop and think, maybe you won't be so quick to run off into that sin. What David had done in secret, the Lord would do in the open. Everyone would know what David had done, and he would pay the full price. The price he would pay would be in view of the whole world. Here we are thousands of years later talking about the sin that man committed thousands of years ago. This is one of the great tragedies of sin in our lives. It has the power to expose us. It may be hidden for a while, but eventually the truth will come out and the sinner will be exposed. Think of what this could mean for your life and for your family. Think of what this could mean for any ministry for the Lord that you might hope to have. Protect yourself. Stay away from sin. Flee from the devil. Resist the devil. Stay away from sin. In the end, it'll always tell on you. You'll be shamed publicly. As part of David's punishment, God allowed the baby born of David's adulterous affair to become sick and die. Can you imagine having to go home and tell a child's mother that a baby was going to die? Could you imagine going home and watching the child die? David prayed for the baby, but the child died just as God had said he would. David paid a terrible price for his sin. And in the middle of me mentioning about sin being exposed, never forget, we see the grace of God in the birth of Solomon. The first son died and the next son would become Solomon. You talk about the grace of God. But as I said, there's far-reaching consequences to our sin sometimes. You might want to sow your wild oats, as they used to say. But I cannot stress too strongly the truth that we're always going to reap what we sow. There's a high price to pay for sin. The question is, are you willing to pay for it? You willing to see it paid for by your family? By others you know and you love? God help us to see how diabolical sin is. Sin in the church today is kind of wink at. Sin is diabolical. Diablos. Diablo. Diabolical. Horrible. Of all the horrible things that came out of David's sin with Bathsheba, perhaps the worst is the fact that it dishonored the name of the Lord among the unbelievers who were watching. If God allowed David to get away with this sin, then those who did not know the Lord would conclude that God was soft on sin and unfair in his judgment of sin. In other words, they would say things about the Lord that were untrue and be guilty of blasphemy. In fact, David's sin boils down to a personal rejection of God, of his law, and his way. David was guilty of blasphemy on a personal level. Personal level. God would not stand for that. David must be judged. One of the worst outcomes when any believer sins is the ammunition that it gives to unbelievers. When a believer openly sins, God's reputation is tarnished and his name is blasphemed. Our first thought ought to always be for God to be glorified. Brothers and sisters, that's why we were created, to glorify God. When we sin, we're seeking to glorify ourselves. In other words, we put ourselves in the place of God. We're back at the garden, same as Adam and Eve. You shall be as God. We put ourselves in the place of God, and that is treason, that is blasphemy, and that is opening the door for the judgment of God to fall in our lives. Our lives are to draw men to Christ. We're to be the light of the world. Not push the pagans even farther away, further away. When we're guilty of low living, that hinders the cause of Christ, and it brings dishonor to the name of the Lord. And we can expect nothing less than God's chastisement. God will forgive your sins. If there is anything to take to heart from this message, that is it. Sin is horrible. It destroys everything and everyone it touches, but sin can be forgiven. Thank God! What we need to know is that when we commit sin, we're starting a process that may continue for years, and that may touch many people before it ends. Is that really a chance that you want to take? There may come a time when you hear God say to you, "Thou art the man, thou art the woman." That time may be today. If there are issues in your life that need to be dealt with today, then now is the time to bring them to Him. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're in the biggest trouble of all. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If you're not saved, come to Jesus now and be saved. If you are saved and you're living in sin, repent of that sin, forsake that sin, and flee. For thou art the man, thou art the woman. The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who was born to you shall surely die. David's sins are forgiven, but yet there were far-reaching consequences. David confessed, "I have sinned against the Lord." The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, by this deed you've given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord. May we not be found bringing great occasion to the enemies of God.